We're going to take a break tonight from the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And I love doing this every once in a while. I like going back to Psalm 119. And so if you would, turn to Psalm 119. We're going to look at verse 54 of Psalm chapter 119. Of course, I say this every time. This chapter has the most verses of any other chapter in the Bible. And it's always fascinated me that with just a few exceptions, every verse deals in some way with the benefits of the Word of God. It's called the law, the statutes, precepts, the benefits that the Word brings to believers. And it's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Tonight we're going to cover verse 54. Now, first let's go back to verse 53, because I think go back to verse 51. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. He faced the same things you and I do. People derided him for his faith, for his position as king. And yet he would not decline from God's truth. I remembered thy judgments of old and have comforted myself. He remembers the ancient writings, the Word of God, to strengthen and comfort him when he may face affliction, persecution, hatred from his enemies. He took comfort in God's Word. I've always been amazed by verse 53. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. It horrified him that people were lawless. It made him tremble. It made him fear for their souls. And it affected him as he saw the wicked on the broad road that led to destruction. It burdened him. And I think it ought to burden us. We encounter people every day who are broken and miserable and depraved and wallowing in ungodliness, wallowing in pride. And if God doesn't change them, if the gospel does not intervene in their lives, they're going to die in their sins and spend an eternity in the lake of fire where there's no parole. There'll be no time when they'll ever get out of that punishment. And that ought to horrify us, to think that people love their sin so much they're willing to die with it, even if it means an eternity in the lake of fire. How we need to pray that God will save people, change their hearts, their minds, their wills. Now, verse 54 is what I wanted to get to, but I wanted you to see, give you a little frame of reference. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. As people He thought, as people deride me, as I go through trials and afflictions, in this uneven journey of life, this pilgrimage where I realize I'm just passing through, God's Word has been my song in the house of my pilgrimage. And I thought, what a contrast there is between the wicked and the righteous. The wicked love their sins. They try to comfort themselves in their sins. The righteous take comfort in God, in His Word, in His truth. The wicked forsake the law, but the righteous rejoice in it. They sing about it. It becomes the topic of their music, and it encourages their hearts. Godly music is really vital in the life of a believer. In fact, I think it's something that we ought to engage in every day. That we ought to sing praise unto our God and rejoice in Him. Do you realize that godly music is associated with the filling of the Holy Spirit? It says in Ephesians 5:18 and 19, "But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms," like we're reading tonight. Those were songs. "Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Music that exalts God, that moves your heart to think more deeply upon Him, that moves you to exalt His righteousness and His ways. Music that leads you in a way that glorifies God. Now those kind of categories for music, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, where you can make melody in your heart to the Lord, that really narrows the sphere of the kind of music that you ought to be filling your heart and your ears and your mind with. Godly music is good medicine for a weary pilgrim. It soothes our soul. It comforts our hearts. It cheers us in an hour of need. It can bring you out of discouragement. Spurgeon said, "Like others of God's servants, David knew that he was not at home in this world, but a pilgrim through it, seeking a better country. He did not, however, sigh over this fact, but he sang about it." I thought, wow, what a profound statement. He realized that the world wasn't his home, and he was glad of that. And as he witnessed the ungodly and the way they forsook the law, he chose to rather focus on the Lord. Focus on His Word. Focus on the truth. And to sing His way through this pilgrimage of life. Singing unto the Lord is one of the highest forms of praise. And you'll find it all through the book of Psalms. Psalm 92. In verse 1, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." Do you want to know something good that you can do? It tells you right here. It's a good thing to give thanks to God and accompany that thanksgiving with songs of praise. Look over with me at Psalm 140. Well, let's look at Psalm 108, verse 1. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Verse 8. Verse 3. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto Thee among the nations. Psalm 146. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. And I think David sang these kind of songs that are listed here in God's songbook. Psalm 146, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. That's a powerful statement. I'll sing praises unto God for basically as long as I live, as long as I have breath, as long as I have ability, my heart, my mouth will be filled with His praises. You know, if we would endeavor to do that and stop complaining and belly aching and all the time focusing on problems, think about how much better our attitudes would be toward God if every day we found something to praise Him for. Just like me today, you may think it's a crazy thing that I was thanking God for my first bologna and tomato sandwich of the summer. But it made me happy to think that God in this year is blessing in that way. I don't take that for granted. And I'm sure that there are things in your life that bring you happiness and joy that you ought to really thank God for. Sing about it. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely, meaning beautiful, becoming. Sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant. There's not much in this old world today that people would call pleasant and enjoyable. But praising God through song is something that ought to bring us great spiritual pleasure. Psalm 149, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of saints. That's why we sing hymns and spiritual songs. When we come together, every time we meet, we lift up our voices in song and in praise to our God. And we need to concentrate more when we're actually singing about the words that we're singing. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and the harp. Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Thy statutes have been my song in the house of my pilgrimage. I wonder if Paul and Barnabas sang some of these psalms. After they'd been laboring and preaching, and they were persecuted, they took them into captivity, threw them in the jailhouse, put their feet fast in the stocks. Their backs were bleeding because they had been beaten unmercifully. And yet it says at midnight, they were praising God and singing unto His name. Isn't that is remarkable that God had such a hold of their affections, their desires, that even in the midst of pain and bondage, they were able to sing the praises of the Lord. You know the rest of the story. God did a miracle. He opened up the prison, and the people started going out. The Philippian jailer was about ready to commit suicide. And that night, God saved his. God orchestrated all of that to save one of His elect. David thought singing praise unto the Lord was so vital to worship that he appointed singers for the tabernacle. It was a very important part of the worship in the tabernacle. You know, we're going to be doing it throughout all eternity. Isaiah 35:10 says, "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." The glorified in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. After they had been raptured, and now they have their glorified bodies, it says in verse 9, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." They were singing about the redeeming work of Jesus Christ that had changed their lives, and they were singing and looking forward to the time when they would come back with the Lord to the earth to live and reign with Him. That's what it says right there in verse 10. They'd reign with Him on the earth. "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." I pray that you and I would recognize how important psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs can be to our everyday life, to focus on praising God and having an attitude of praise and thanksgiving throughout each day.